We had a great question to start off with. Why do we have to learn about intimacy? Now, that wasn't the question. The question is, how is my son? Baruch Yitzhak Ben Masha, he is in Khan Yunis. He's doing night missions. It's pretty intense. The weather, I'm sure, hasn't helped. But at the same time, they're very together and focused, the unit, and he's gone on to a combat unit, which is a conglomerate of Duvdavan, Yalom, Oketz. They're all joined up together with Sanchanim. And the news is maybe in a few weeks they'll be out, but you never know. So everyone needs to keep focused and keep doing their best to be a support, either spiritually, emotionally, or physically. We're going to do an important session today. This is really important. Everyone focuses a little bit, because all that we've learned is about now getting to this point. Just also in your program as well, because I heard that I only have two more sessions of you officially. I don't know why that's the case, but seems like you guys finish early this year, is that right? Like,
we finish normal time. We just have next week, we have 2 weeks where we're not going to be in
the room. Oh, okay. So there's other stuff going on. Good. Okay, good. That's better news, because I feel bad for you guys to finish so early. You know, you want to round off this year strong. And being right now, we've had a weather change. It's a slightly different feeling in the air. When I was here 2 weeks ago, you were like bathing in the sun, having a relaxed energy, and now it's a little bit more intense with the rain. But remember, in Eretz Yisrael, this is one of the beautiful things. Someone in this morning was talking about it, one of these old special Jews that I pray with, was saying how every little raindrop is a blessing. And that's how we have to think about wisdom. Everything we're learning in this class, in my opinion, goes back to sources and holy books and principles, universal principles that we can apply in daily life. And so every raindrop of wisdom is precious. And that's how we look at rain in Eretz Yisrael. It's how we look at what we're learning. Everything you're learning this year is stuff you need to internalize. That's what we spoke about last week, or 2 weeks ago, about reviewing, internalization. It's hard work to internalize, especially, and we mentioned in terms of intimacy last week, or 2 weeks ago, we mentioned how important it is to really give a F, and not an F for the wrong one, the F for focus. Really give your focus, because if you're not focused in your relationship with whoever you're going to, please God, find to team up with, this soulmate of yours, if you're not focused, she'll make you focus. And if she doesn't manage to get your attention, then she'll find other ways or other people, other opportunities to focus with. So it really is, the key to the game is that focus, and that means paying attention, internalizing what we're doing. And that's really what you should be doing right now, this stage of the program as well, B'nai Akiva, Machina, B'nai Akiva world. You should be bringing together everything you've learned till now and starting to be in like a good flow. So that all the habits we mentioned, all the good ways of getting your intimate life into a good place should be now clear. We'll just run through the list. If anyone remembers it, that would really impress me, but I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'll run through. First, be proactive, be kind. Everyone needs to be kind. In order to find your soulmate, you've got to be interactive. You've got to be actually talking to the other side, as they say, or your other half. You can't have a relationship just by texting. It's not going to happen. You've got to actually meet this person-to-person connection. That means going out of yourself a little bit, being proactive, thinking in a kind way. How can I connect to people beyond myself? We're getting caught up, addicted to nonsense, but having availability to be connecting with people. Second thing is, end in mind. Having a mission statement, knowing what you're here for. Getting clear, what did you come to this program? What are you doing in your life? Who's this other person? What's their value system? Do you share similar goals? You don't have to be the same. You just need to be focused on similar objectives that you can share those values together, even if, once again, the personality is different. The truth is, real love usually comes from opposites, people that are very different, but they have similar objectives, similar goals. So you go with those differences and you balance out with each other. Third thing, making sure you're focused in on your priorities. What is important to you? Time management, how you use your time. Look, we go pretty decent amount of guys on a cold day. So guys, you're focused, you've got schedule, you're not just like wasting time. And that will manifest in relationship intimacy, that you prioritize your family, you prioritize your soulmate, you prioritize this lady. And she'll, once again, if you don't do it, she'll make it known. There's no like way around it. It's not like, you know, there's a get out clause. The get out clause is divorce or end of relationship. That's, it's either focus or no focus. Yeah. Third, that's the third one. Fourth one, win-win. Now we've sorted our inner system out. We're in a good space. And now you need to get to the next story. How do I make this a successful campaign, a successful victory? Remember, we spoke about the war. What's the victory of this war? So our friend who came in first, we appreciate him, I'm not going to say his name, but he said the end of after everyone else gave their opinion is Mashiach. The end game of this war is we need to get, and it's getting clearer and clearer, by the way, that that's the only real solution, because it's so complicated politically and, you know, the whole geopolitics and everything is very complex, and you can see what the world's saying. So the only solution is the real ultimate solution of Mashiach. So we have to keep working towards that as a public, as a nation, as a relationship. That means we're on the winning team. We're here to win. We're here to make sure my other half wins. You're supportive to her. You know, it's not just about you, what you need in your life. It's about supporting someone else and their needs. And then you get to the one of the hardest ones, actually listening. Look, we're all having a hard time. Listen. To actually focus and listen on someone and really understand what they're saying, not putting your narratives onto them, but actually to really listen to their inner voice that they're trying to communicate to you, that takes a lot of humility. And then we get to the sixth level. The sixth habit is synergizing. Then you can really become one. Then you get real good times. Then you really bond with this other half. Yeah? Like, I'll tell you something. A rabbi was once asked, Rabbi Tatz, I don't know if you ever heard of him, Akiva Tatz. He's a big famous doctor in England. He did a lot for my family back in the day, because my wife and mother-in-law were there by his house. And I learned a lot from him when I was working in England. I learned a lot from him. By the way, this jacket, if anyone noticed, it's a roadie jacket that you get when you go on tour, for like the roadies. It's really cool. Anyway, that was the kind of work. I was working in a merchandise office for touring. But the point is that this doctor, Rabbi Akiva Tatz, said, people asked him, said, you know, religious relationships must be really like, you know, not fun. They're like all these rules. Yeah, there's all these limitations. I'm not really bonding, you know, I'm not really understanding how this could be a pleasurable experience, being religious and relations, sex, intimacy. How can it be good? It must be all the good fun is all the crazy stuff, yeah, in the nightclubs and you know, the cruise ships and, you know, all the crazy stuff that goes on out there. That's where all the real, you know, real pleasure is. So he said back to them, no. That once you understand, you get all the things we just spoke about clear. Now when you're bonding with this woman, it's the most amazing, spiritual, uplifting journey together. And intimacy just gets better and better as you get married. People think as you get carried on marriage, you know, you get older, so you're less physical, you're less attractive, you've got less energy. So then the whole intimacy thing gets worse. It's only downhill from now. That's like the mindset of the world. That's why you need to just, like my friend joined the other day, change her up, yeah? You hear that, brothers? Yeah, you start getting a new girl, a new lady. Bring in a new lady to your life. Get a newer model. Have you seen that idea out there? Like Bezos. Jeff Bezos, he changed, you know, his model. Not that you should call a woman this, but he changed his wife to a younger version. And if you've seen his new girl, I suggest not checking it out, but she's not exactly like his wife before. And I'm sure that's not the first billionaire to have done something like that, yeah?
Leonardo DiCaprio always gets the other
one. Yeah, he's another dude, yeah? I heard about that. But the point is that with intimacy, real intimacy, if you're really working on yourself, it gets better and better with marriage. And the physical side of it becomes less and less the point, because you have to understand intimacy is a spiritual experience. It's joining two souls together. So in order to get to that level of intimate soul connection, you have to become less physically focused and more emotionally and spiritually focused. And that's the real key to this whole course. So that's real synergizing. That's what the sixth level we said. Now the seventh, we said we had to review. That was 2 weeks ago. Be focused, make sure you're getting clear what you're here for. Now you're in the program. So this point of the program, my hope is all of you have found your voice. This is the eighth habit that Stephen Covey talks about. We're quoting him, anyone check it out. It's eighth level is finding a voice. Now in our generation, everyone has a voice. More than ever in history. Back in the day, there was a king and a queen. And if you went and said your voice, you said your opinion, and it wasn't according to the king and queen, you got your head chopped off. Yeah, like it was a different world. Now we have ability to give our opinion. You can post it online if you've got some courage, even if it might get a little bit of, you know, angry voices, hatred back. By the way, did anyone see Ben Shapiro's rap?
Yes, with Tom McDonald. Wow, it's amazing. I love it. It's on my, literally on my...
So that's exactly the point. Someone like Ben Shapiro, who's like this seemingly, he's not, but he's the way they depict him, the world out there, he's a nerdy Jew, who, you know, Harvard lawyer, highly intelligent, speaks too fast, he knows too much, too pro-Israel, that whole kind of
can
thing.
Can I play his part of the rap?
Huh?
Can I play his part?
Yeah, you can. Please, I actually want to hear it again. It's so good. I've been like listening to it again and again. You know how I listen to it again and again? I just watch all the reactions. I love seeing all these black people going nuts for Ben Shapiro. I love it. Start at the beginning. This is Tom McDonald. He's like dissing everyone.
Love it. It gets worse already.
It's not in the context of the song, it's good. He's dissing Liz, he's dissing Cardi B, he's dissing Nicki Minaj, he's dissing everyone. It's amazing. And it's streaming, like it's almost number one. I think it would be number one if they hadn't fixed the whole Billboard chart. Like in the terms of the numbers, it's actually number one, but the business obviously doesn't want it to be number one because it's against the industry. But anyway, without getting into that, the point is that you have a voice. You can go and make your own podcast. You can build a media team, and you don't have to be a millionaire like Ben is, where he's at now. You can get there right now in Bnei Akiva. You can influence the world. Your voice matters. This is the eighth habit. You have a voice, and you have ability now to express it more than ever. Yeah, I was thinking about it. You do need some, you know, money a little bit, because nowadays to get your voice heard online, it needs some bang. You need to be able to like put it out there a little bit in terms of promotion. It's not going to just happen. Now, what happens? How do you bring this into its intimacy? So I would say that it's important that you learn with your wife or with your soulmate that you both have your, once we've got clear what we're here for, you both have your missions and to empower them. For example, my wife, yeah? She's not a doctor like Ben Shapiro's wife. By the way, one of the funniest comments on the video was, now Ben Shapiro's wife can say, my husband the rapper. Because he always says, my wife the doctor. So now she can say, my husband the rapper. That's a good joke. I thought it was a good joke. Anyway, the point is you both have to have your tafkid, your purpose. Like, my wife does matter. She loves going to help people. Yeah. Now, I could say there, but there's no money in it. It's a waste of time. That's the man voice. You're thinking bills. Yeah, I'd rather her just be around, available for my needs. You know, like, why is she running off helping all these ill people? And, you know, she's not even getting paid for it. It's a waste of time. You know, you could start talking that way. What did I do? I had to pay for the course. It wasn't cheap. Pay for the course. It was an English-speaking course. So I had to pay for it. Yeah. Two, I then had to, be agreeable all this time that she's going to be busy doing it. Three, she's getting all this equipment, all this stuff. She's going out. It's hours of the day. You never know where she can end up. She even then had to get a gun this year because of the war. She now had to get a gun. And we got a gun, thank God, within 3 weeks of applying. That was unusual. 3 weeks of applying. Everyone else takes months. She got, with 3 weeks, just after the war started, she got a gun. My son phoned her up from Gaza and said, get a gun if you're going to go do Mali. You have to be armed nowadays. That's what the... You know, intel is that basically anywhere you go, if you don't have a gun, it's a risk. It's a life risk nowadays, especially if MADA, because they go into every kind of place. They help every kind of person, not just Jews. So she have to be armed. So she has a gun. And she did it. She booked Shem. So, but my side of the relationship was, and this connects to what we're learning, is to be supportive. To be, not just be supportive, to empower her voice be heard. This is a really hard thing. It's making space for someone else to express their mission, their unity, even if it doesn't seem to fit your agenda. And that's the whole key to marriage relationship. Yeah, go on, ask a question. What do you mean? They go into Arab areas, yeah, all the time. She's been in shifts where she's the only Jew and she's in an ambulance with Arabs. Like Arab driver, Arab nurse. Yeah.
How are Arabs driving motor vehicles?
Why? Because the matter doesn't, is non-domination, whatever the word is. Yeah?
Yeah, but as in, okay.
They believe in helping people not die. Yeah? Yeah. And that's humans, not just Jews.
True.
So it's a very idealistic, organization. And my grandmother was a big fundraiser for Matter, Magidon Adom. And most people nowadays, they think of Hatzalah when they think of English, you know. But Mada also has an English department, not very big, but they have it. And it was just divine providence, and my wife got involved in Mada. I mean, Hatzalah do the same thing, Unite Hatzalah. You know, they also have Arabs, and, it's interesting. There's a concept of, like, with the soldiers even, there's Arab soldiers fighting Hamas together with the Israelis. It's not like Israeli Arabs, they're Israeli Arabs. They're fighting on the side of Israel. They want to kill Hamas just as much as, the Jew, yeah? So there's certain things that unite humanity. Yeah, we have to remind ourselves that. There's certain human realities that unite us all. But the point is that you're enabling your wife, your soulmate, to have her space to do her thing. That's what I'm trying to say. And you have to do your thing, obviously. Each of you, we've already went through the habits of figuring out who you are, what your principles, what your values, what your dreams are. And then you start doing it. And to the point where you're not scared of the system, shutting down your voice. Your voice is important. You have to contribute your voice to the program that you're in B'nai Akiva, to your office environment, your business culture, online, social media-wise nowadays. You have to figure out, at least on some level, what's going to be represented. Some of my friends, their voice is, I'm not on social media. That's their message to the world. F the social media. I'm not going on social media. It's going to lose my focus. I'm a successful businessman. I'll be more impactful making loads of money and putting it into all the organizations that I believe in. That's what I have friends like that. Yeah? You have to think about all this stuff. This is not like waste of time conversations. This is important because this is real life. Now, the ninth habit, we're going to jump because I've only got two more sessions here. The tenth one we'll end off with next time when we see you guys. That'll be like the climax point. That's my favorite discussion point. But the ninth one is a hard one. All of you right now. Yeah, let's be honest. Guys, seriously, 1 second. Everyone's distracted. This is the ninth habit. Getting rid of distractions. Distractions are going to take away the most powerful thing you have and most important thing you have in life. What is it? Who knows what it is? Not just that. Intention, yeah, it's connected to it. But what is the word? It begins with T. What's the biggest gift in life? Yeah, who said it? I heard it.
Time.
Thank you. Time is the biggest gift. Yeah, we have a certain amount of time in this world. It's every second that passes, it's another second. My hour here is precious to me. It means a lot to me when I come and connect with you guys. The problem is distractions take us away from our focus of what we're here for. Now, if I would explain to you what the purpose of humanity on the most deepest level is really just to be intensely present and focused on the truth of reality at that moment. That is actually what we're here for. If you can achieve that level, and we're not talking about some Buddhist crap, yeah? I'm talking about the real understanding of humanity, that you're totally present. Yeah, what do you want to say? Yeah, sure. 1 minute, see? It's all measuring it in time. The point is, thank you, the point is that with a time-focused lifestyle, when you start to understand how distraction takes away from that, the most important, valuable thing, then you start making different choices. And everything we've spoken about becomes more clear. Because now your intimacy is about complete focus. Why is intimacy so amazing? Let me ask you, I don't know if any of you have been in that space. I'm married 43 years. I've been, I'm not, 23 years. Married, I'm 43, 44 almost, yeah? Yes, 23. So, all that, in that time, I've experienced, I know what intimacy really is, because I'm married that long to go on that journey to find out what it is. A lot of you guys haven't yet experienced, you've had sex, but that doesn't mean what we're talking about. Intimacy is like a different level. It's like becoming one with another person. It's not just sticking a thing in something and moving around, yeah? It's actual, a moment of intense oneness with another human being. It's and one of the reasons why it's so pleasurable is because you really get to know another human being in the most deep way, and you feel completely one with that person and focused. Nothing else matters that moment. There's no bills, there's no mummy and daddy, there's no B'nai Akiva, whoever, there's no whatever my issues are in life, there's no war, yeah? There's only you and this person, and this intimate bond that brings you more and more deeper and deeper in love. And that is a very powerful feeling. We're not talking about the pleasure-seeking version of it, where it's just about how much more pleasure I can get out of it, or how far can I go, yeah? And all that kind of stuff, and all the different ways and this, and that, all the nonsense approaches of it, or the noise around it. I'm talking about once you've got rid of all the noise and all the distractions, even in intimacy, it's a tremendous moment of bonding and deep love that there's nothing else like it in the world. And it gives you a taste of what focus can be, what focused life can be. It awakens you how you can really connect to another human being in such a profound way. Now, it works out that that can also bring down a neshama, bring down souls, bring down children. And that's another part of the, you know, the mitzvah, puravu, bringing down children, which is important. Because then when there's that intimate level, it actually creates something. That's another part of it. You actually create children, you create souls, you bring down souls. But you can't get to that true experience unless you're not distracted. Do you understand? Does anyone here relate to had a moment in life, maybe not intimacy, but a moment in life where you really were 100% present? Even maybe during this year in B'nai Akiva, where you just, I don't know, you were jumping out of a plane here. I don't know, what something. Like, but my son did San Chanim and he was jumping out of planes. That was pretty intense. You get pretty focused. That's why a lot of people are thrill seekers nowadays, because they want to, you know, parkour. They want to jump off a building and stuff to another building, because that intense rush, you know. Like Tom Cruise must put in every single one of his movies a running scene where he's like jumping from building, and he's actually doing it himself. Because he's probably like, what's the word? He's like addicted.
Adrenaline junkie.
Yeah, he's adrenaline junkie. Or he's just a nutcase, I don't know, either two. Point is, has anyone here had those moments of intense focus where you're not distracted and tasted the kind of pleasure it brings? It's the real key to pleasure. It's important to know about it, because it you know, the whole, what's the whole America built off? Yeah, in God we trust. But what was the other reason? One of the founding principles, pursue a pleasure. Yeah. So everyone's, let's be honest, everyone's looking for pleasure. You eat because it's pleasurable, even though it also happens to help keep you alive and nourish your body. But everyone out there is looking for pleasure. Pleasure is a very important part of human reality. But the key is to really fully experience pleasure, you have to be fully present. And that's part of the beauty of intimacy. It says there's a taste of Olam Haba. You know this? Anyone hear this before? It's based on the Gemara, the Talmud. A lot of good sayings in the Talmud, a lot of deep wisdom. That's why I learn it every day and try to finish it every 7 years. The idea that you have Ma'ein Olam Haba means a taste of the world to come. What does that mean, taste of the world to come? Why? What's the pleasure of a gaming system? My son's just got FIFA 24 and he's playing it a lot. Yeah. Right now, actually, he's switching off every so often to FIFA 23. I asked him why, I don't know. He wants for some reason play the other one, says it's easier to manage, it's a bit too involved, FIFA 24, like there's too many things to do, and with his English and stuff. So I'm helping him a little bit. So I sit there with him. What's so engaging about a game that makes it?
Well, the whole point of the game is to engage the audience.
Yeah, and you get totally caught up in it in some level. So you're present in the game. So it's a feeling a little bit of Olam Haba. That's what Olam Haba is. It's the world that's to come. You're no longer like you're in that state, place, that state of mind, you're experiencing a higher level of something coming. You're not just, you're not thinking about your next move. You're in that space. And that's a powerful feeling. This is why, once again, like we're talking about, like really what, we're getting rid of all the noise that surrounds relationships, what surrounds women. You know, when I look to the competition that Ben Shapiro's rap song has right now, what's the alternative? Who's the one who's trending apparently more but isn't, but they just made it, forced it to? What's her name? Megan Thee Stallion or whatever her name is?
Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah. I looked for 5 seconds of that video. It was so evil and so bad. I mean, she knows how to rap, that's true. But it was so bad, like the energy and the vibe, that, you know, if that's what you're being brought up listening to, you know, in my day it was never that bad. Yeah, I mean, and I'm not that old. The music, even, it just wasn't that low. It wasn't so demonic. Like, when you have to understand what's happened is they've taken this beautiful moment of connection and they've distorted it. And there's so much noise around this moment of connection that you can't, it's like, it's almost like a, you have mercy on yourself and say, like, how could it be? Like, I just want to connect to this person legit. I want to have a real relationship moment with somebody. I don't want to just always be distracted. I don't want to always be thinking about, it's better over there. It's better on in that person's life. That one's really got a good lifestyle. That one's really got a nice watch, a nice car, a nice this, a nice that. That one's got a really nice girl. And look at her body. Oh my God. You know, like, there's like, to the point where you're no longer with the person you're with, because then there's always going to be someone more prettier. There's always going to be more money, more things to get. So you're totally never there. You're always thinking about that other thing, that other thing, that other thing. The whole taste of the world to come is you're actually now experiencing the focus of a moment. You're focused and you're experiencing the full pleasure that's in that moment, that full moment of life. Has anyone been to a beautiful scenery? Like you've been to the... Yeah, come on, give me a place. Where were you?
This is...
Grand Canyon or...
No, this is... I trail an hour away from my house. That has like...
Wow.
Fireworks and you can see two lakes and like you can see out in the distance. That's very beautiful. Like,
yeah, so when you're looking at a panoramic view in real time, not on screen, your real physical eyes and you're breathing the air... And you're experiencing God's creation. Isn't it the most uplifting feeling? And you breathe in the air, it's clean. It's not city air, it's not cars, it's clean.
I find that, like, I feel most connected when I'm biking outdoors.
Yeah. You know, that's why there's a whole movement now, brothers, there's a whole movement away from this whole technological, like, dependence to just go hiking, to go camping. It's become an equal, like, equal, thank you for coming back. It's become an equally positive, like, movement away from this dependence on technology and distractions. And that is the kind of space where you can really bond with someone. You can really have a crew of people. You know, if anyone's into Rogan, he loves hunting. He loves going out with his boys and doing something that's bonding. Like, you guys, like, you can think about what you're coming up next. You know, you could think, how can I spend the last part of Israel really bonding with my crew? Not just bonding with my phone. How can I bond? Because I had the blessing when I came to Israel, I had no phone. Thank you, Hashem. I didn't have a phone when I came here. Like, there was a mobile phone, but it was like a brick. So no one had them, really. And if you did, it was like, it was cumbersome. Yeah? So you used a calling card to phone your mom and dad, and that was it. Goodbye. That was that half an hour a week. And the rest of the time, you're there. I was in Israel. There was nothing. There was none of my past, none of my friends, none of my social scenes, none of my statuses, no like trending. I didn't care if Ben Shapiro put out a song or didn't put out a song. It didn't mean anything, yeah? There was no billboard charts in my head. I was just there in Israel experiencing real life for like months on end. And that, you have that contrast. That was in the 90s. Like, as Rogan said, we're like the last Mohicans, we're the last people, the last generations that before this whole technological, like, cyborg reality that you guys are going through, where you've literally grown up with phones attached to you constantly. I didn't have that for a good time of my life, 20 years or something. So And even there was a bunch of years I chose, even with it all taking over everything, to also not have it. And that was great times. I did a lot, accomplished a lot in those years when I didn't have attachment to all this stuff. You know, my wife made a comment on the way here. She said, I'm so happy we're going to spend some time together. Because as soon as this session finishes, I'm going straight to Beit Shemesh. I'm going to get my passport renewed and then going to go see someone who's been sick, got a paintball in their eye. And now they've had weeks to be dedicated to his refuah shleima. Kiva Yosef ben Din Alea, he's had all kinds of operations on his eye just from some kid making a mistake with a paintball gun. When he shouldn't have shot it, he shot it and it went into his eye, and it's been weeks and weeks of operations, messed up the family schedule, all kinds of bother. And you can just see like how precious time is, how precious life is when you don't have these problems. Yeah, you see what it can do to a family when, you know, even more so with the war and, you know, what's going on, how precious life is, how precious time is. So my wife said to me, we're going, we're spending time together, but I'm spending time with my husband and his phone. That's what she said. She was honest. She called me out. Like, maybe I'm spending time with Bnei Akiva boys and their phones. You know, one of the reasons why I stopped teaching, like, as a full-time thing, because I was just pissed me off just sitting there talking to a bunch of phones. Pissed me off. I got pissed off. I was just like, come on, man, like, I'm better than this. I didn't come to this world to talk to a bunch of phones. You know, it can't be that, you know, my purpose in this world is just stand here and talk and then everyone else is somewhere else. Can't be. So I got really pissed off about it. Like, and I quit. I stopped teaching. And, you know, years and years of students haven't had me teach them. And I think I have what to offer. I did other things that were purposeful during that time. But it dissuaded me from teaching because it was just like, what's the point? You know, I don't need to waste my time. You know, I was at a point where literally I was texting guys during this class, like, to listen, because I had all their Facebooks. It was back in the day. It was like the 2008-9, whatever it was. And I'd be like texting them, like, bro, I'm teaching you, right? Can you get off your phone? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, I was texting them in the middle of the class. So the point is that to be able to remove the distractions, it makes space for real life. It really can be done. We have to all do it at some level. Like, thank God I don't have a Netflix account right now. Like, thank God. All that waste of time. Most of it's crap, as I've already mentioned a few times. A little bit, there's a few documentaries, a few insightful things, maybe some good movies that you can watch in your chill time. But the general, it's built there to pull you in and waste your time. Yeah, go on.
I understand. I've also been a little waste of time, but like, it's a nice day outside, you're watching Netflix. Like, you're chilling in the evening with your family.
Beautiful.
You're a waste of time to watch Netflix.
No. In those instances, when you're bonding with people and you're watching a movie, I went with my parents. I went and saw that movie, One Life, yeah, with Hopkins.
Wait, anyone but you?
No, it was called One Life.
No,
One World, excuse me. Save One Life, Save the World.
It's for intimacy.
Anyway, it's about Hopkins, yeah? Anthony Hopkins, amazing actor, amazing film. And I went and saw it with my family, and it was very bonding to be there with my mum and dad. I'll never forget that experience, just now, a few weeks ago. So yeah, if you're doing it to bond and go through an experience together, and it's a quality film, you're learning something from it. But the point is that look, we're all struggling with this. Every man nowadays, attention is being challenged to focus in. It's a mutual issue. I've got it, you've got it. Tell me someone who doesn't have it. Here and there are people who've disciplined and made rules for themselves, and they're still making money and they're still being matzliach, and they've made some sort of control on the phones and the whole experience. The phones are not controlling them. There are some people out there who are managing to really. And I think the quality of their lives are probably much better than ours, honestly, who are addicted. Yeah, go on.
Did you ever have a kosher phone?
Yeah, I had a kosher phone. Years I was offline. It was amazing. Years. So I've had a time period when everyone else was on, I didn't have. And there were good times. My friend wanted to get hold of me, he had to phone a house phone. That was it for a whole bunch of years. I had a computer, my parents gave me a laptop. It something got glitched with it. And I came to my rabbi, I said, my laptop's not working, you know. He said, Baruch Hashem. He said, now you can live again. And I was like, all right, cool. So I just left it. for a bunch of years. I literally was just away from all this stuff. And now I'm not, you know, and like I told you my comment on the way here, my wife's saying I'm with my husband and his phone. That's how she's viewing it. So I'm suffering the same problem. It's not like this. I'm above you guys. I'm going through the same issue. We all are. Majority of the world now is having this challenge. Go on.
You have a TV at your house?
No, thank God. We have an Xbox screen, if that means anything. That's new. I was like really not into computers coming into my house, but I had to agree on this one. Yeah, go on.
So what do you like to do in your free time?
No, we watch on laptops or iPads.
No, I mean, other than that, what do you like to do?
Oh, personally? Okay, that's a fair question. So what do I like to do? You know, it's fair.
That's a serious question.
Yeah, it's serious. My wife and I, we went the other day, went out for a drink at a juicery. We got some vouchers because my son's in the army. So we got a few vouchers for free juice restaurant, a new one in a frat. And
spending time with your wife?
Yeah, spending time. We sat together. We had a nice drink, healthy drink, so it wasn't putting garbage into our body. And the other day, I'm doing a podcast with another guy from an organization called Jeswan Chesed, if you've ever heard of it. So we're doing a podcast together. Someone wanted to sponsor the podcast. So they gave us a few $100 and said, use it for your family. Like, so we took both of us took our wives out for a nice meat meal in Rosa. We had some meat, going out, socializing, talking. Personally, I like walking, I like swimming. When the swimming pool comes, finally opens, I'm going to be swimming. I'm big into swimming. I love swimming. I grew up swimming.
What's your favorite
stroke? Stroke, front crawl. But I do a lot, when I exercise, I do mostly breath stroke. Yeah. swimming is big. You have to find what you enjoy and do it. Life is short, man. Like that, once you're out of this place, what's next? You have to get a degree, or you have to go to the army, and then you're gonna have to. There's always this pressure. What you have to do, it has to be also the actually living the moment. And the online virtual world is not gonna do it for you in a deep way. It's not gonna do your relationship. It's not gonna fulfill your wife or your soul's needs. It's not gonna fulfill it. It just isn't. Yeah.
Did you serve in the army?
No, I didn't.
If you could have, what would you want to do?
If I could have, I'd like to be like, it's a good question, and I wish I would have been a captain or like someone who strategizes. I would have liked to go to a higher position. I was always into war. I grew up obsessed with war.
You regret it that you didn't go to the army?
I don't know, because the way I understood the Israeli army then and where I was at, it would have not worked for me. But now, like, I'm proud that my son's doing what I didn't do. Let's just say that.
Is your son still in Gaza?
He's still in Khan Yunis, yeah, doing night missions. It's pretty heavy, heavy stuff, because they're trying to kill Sinwar, Mach Shemam, and they're trying to get the hostages, and they're trying to end this story.
Are they sure that he's in Gaza still?
They think he is, yeah. In the tunnel system there. Yeah.
How did you make Aliyah of that?
It's a good, fair question. So I came to Israel like everyone else, like on a tour, and I was like, wow, I got to stay here. And when I came back, I went to yeshiva. And when I was in the Haredi system, they pretty much told me, like, we can get you out of the army. They have a system, it's called being patur. And after a few different stories of going to the Saragias, you know, the whole place in Rashi, a few different situations, I keep getting the paperwork to get me out, to the point where when I was by 30 years old, they sent me my patur. It took about 10 years to get the patur after 30, when I had about 5 kids by that point. So, yeah. So, do I regret it? I mean, my wife definitely wished she would have gone to the army, 100%. She would do it now. She's that kind of person. Like, she's doing MADA. That's her way of doing the army on a certain level.
How many kids do you have?
6, piano. I stopped. That's another important discussion. Like, I felt for my family personally, we needed to just focus on what we had and not just keep having. My youngest is 12, so we haven't had a child for 12 years. And I felt like it was enough. Like, there is a mindset you just keep having and having, but I wanted to focus on what I had, not just keep having and having. Like, be quality rather than quantity, if you know what I'm saying. With children, there's a miracle where you can somehow always have time for all of them, even if it's a massive family. There is such situations, but I've also seen some kids lose out, because then you're not really, you know, fully focused once again. You're losing that focus. So I would ask everyone, if you could think 2 points today. How can you get your voice heard more? Meaning you get to understand what is your voice. You have to know what your message is. What your message is to the world. What you're here for. Your unique message. What is the other person you're going to please God, marry, or become in a relationship with? What's their unique message? How do you get that voice out there? It could be through a business idea. It could be through promoting Israel. It could be through promoting an artist. Whatever it is that works for you. Yeah. How are you going to get your unique message out to the world? Then the second thing is, that's getting your voice heard. Making sure you're not just some little schmerl nobody cares about. You have the right to have your voice heard in this world. Don't let society push you into a hole and just, you know, you come like this robot just making money and sleeping and eating. You have a unique light. The world needs it. Don't underestimate your unique power. Before we get to your question, second thing is, everyone, once you've got your unique message, your unique light, how do you get rid of the distractions that are preventing you from fully doing it? And not only that, with the intimate life, how do you prevent the noise getting into your relationship? So that when you're with your wife, you're with your wife. When you're with your soulmate, when you're with this lady, you are with this person. When you're with your children, you are present. How are you going to do it? There's going to have to be some game plan. I need to work on it as well, man. It's not just... This is not just an easy task, because we've got the whole infrastructure of high tech is aiming how to keep you busy with it, more. Not another bit of dopamine, another second, another check, another movement, another hustle, yeah, another stimulation, another et cetera, et cetera. Yeah? It's built to pull you in and keep you there endlessly. So you got to somehow disconnect. Like we said, Shabbat's a big tool. Yom Tov's a big tool. You have a moment, disconnect to reconnect. We've said different ideas how to be able to switch it off. But it's also got to be in your mind as well, inside you as well, that you're focused as a person on real things. When you're talking to someone, you're really focused. It's not just like whatever. Like when you get together with your boys, I got together with my boys in London. We didn't just talk about like heavy stuff. Like we had chats, you know, it was fun. Just chatting breeze, as they call it in England. Just like having fun conversation. It's one of the best things to do. Why is that such a pleasurable moment? Just to schmooze with a bunch of boys over a nice meal, we were sitting in a firm restaurant. It's called Rudy's in Baker Street. Beautiful restaurant. Having a lovely meal, brought our own booze, endless meat. And you're just sitting there with your boys. It was like, for me, it was like Ganin, one of the highest times I've had in a few weeks. It's just the moment of just being with your boys talking. Why is that so pleasurable? Does anyone know?
Nice to be with other people.
Nice to be with other people. And nothing else. You're not thinking about your worries and problems in life. And if you are talking about them, it's always in like a more like, you know, like connecting way. Like you, the movement, the direction's always in a good way. Like, so it's not like pulling you down. You're getting encouragement. Like one of my friends went through some heavy stuff and we spoke about it, but it was always like in a like a happy way. Like we're moving it, we can get through this kind of thing. We're a crew, we're together. You're not alone. You know, this is why one of the things we did during that meal, we all agreed not to get on our phones. Not to spend the meal taking selfies and posting, and we agreed to actually be. Like, I put my phone high up, away from me, so I could just be there. And there was one moment he wanted a phone number, so then I took my phone and said, I really feel lame, I couldn't even survive the whole meal without taking my phone, but I had an excuse because I needed to give him something, because I was scared I'd forget it, but once I got it, like, get the phone away again, so I can just enjoy this experience. Yeah, what are you saying?
You feel like you're missing out on anything by being religious?
No. That was the whole point I said. I don't know if you were in the class, but the rabbi said, Rabbi Tatz said that his intimacy is better, that he's because it takes away the noise. The whole point of the religious system is to guard you from the noise of all the distraction, your own evil inclination, your own negativity, your wife's negativity, the world's negativity, and it allows space for your soul to blossom, to groom, to have room. Now, if you're doing it wrong, there's lots of people religious and living it wrong. There's like crazy religious people, we know. Islam believes that killing people is what God wants. There's all kinds of distortions of religion. We know that. But if you're doing it in the right way, you really understood what God's intention is with spirituality and intimacy and the soul connection. So no, it only enhances your relationships. It enhances everything. It enhances eating food. It enhances going for a walk. It enhances doing business. Because everything's within a framework of clarity. You're no longer confused. And you're not just some like piece of like, you know, flesh being flowing around this way, that way. You're just floating through space. You have a purpose. You have a mission. It's clear. Yeah, go on.
Can you dive in 3 times a day?
Yeah, of course. A lot of personal questions here. I'm very disciplined. I all the things I spoke about, the habits, except for focus, like really focusing on my wife, like fully, which is probably one of my biggest problems. Everything else I'm trying to do. Everything I've talked about, I'm trying to live up to. The focus one, the distraction one, is a hard one. That's one of my weak points. Really listening, really being present. I have a hard time with that. I'm a little bit ADHD. I've got excuses, but at the end of the day, I've got to work on it. Yeah, go on.
Sometimes I'll talk to someone and I realize like I want to use the same, but I really can't. Like, I'm just not interested. Like, how do you make yourself interested in what people are saying? There's no outside distractions.
Yeah, this actually came up with Rogan's, like his chill with his boys on his podcast, because Rogan's always talking about aliens and pyramids and like weird stuff. So his boys are like, you know, once he goes on one of those rants, you know, like they just tune out. Yeah. And the other way around, when he speaks to like dumb people, he's not really interested in hearing the whole LA Hollywood nonsense. The whole, I know this person, I know that, everyone's showing off their, Rogan tunes out. He's not interested in any of that kind of show off stuff. So yeah, there's going to be conversations you're going to tune out. But what, either they're not the right people to be with, which is what they're implying, or the other thing is you learn to tune into the human point where you do connect. There's always going to be something you connect on with most normal human beings, unless they're really shallow and really lame. And those kind of people, I generally like stay away from and pray not to have to encounter daily. Like, most people have what to talk about. And there's so much going on right now that's really intense that, like, for example, when I was in London, the amount of people that came up to just talk to me about the situation, they're a bit more awake now. Life isn't just, you know, superficial discussions. People are thinking, like, the world's changing, things are happening, like, you know, it really matters now that I'm Jewish, because I can't get away from it, whether I want to or not. Like, that's always been the truth. But now it's like obvious. Like, the world's not allowing us to forget that we're Jewish. It doesn't matter how secular you are. You are Jewish no matter what. From the time you're born until the time you die, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't hide it. Hitler went after the Jews that didn't even think they were Jewish. They'd even married out, or they're descendants of people that married out. He went after every little bit of Jew that there is. So the other side is definitely interested in our Jewishness. And it's got, again, to the point where we're not going to escape it, our Jewishness. There's no way of escaping it. So it brings you to very real conversations with people. Yeah, what else? Any other questions, guys? What would you think one thing you could do to get rid of some distractions? What do you guys think? Delete one app. Maybe put a time limit on the phone.
Social media?
Yeah.
Snapchat especially.
Yeah? Snapchat?
I try to.
Try.
Limit and delete it, but I feel left out.
Yeah. That's good. My son's also, he broke his phone to get rid of it. And then he bought himself a better one. He just came home with an S23. I was like, what? You just broke your phone. He said, yeah, that was rubbish. And I tried to go without it. And now he's back on it. Is he back on Instagram? I don't know. He said he's just going to use it for WhatsApp and a few other things. But yeah, he's constantly up and down fight. It's a fight. It's difficult. And Yeah, social media is a challenge. You know, it's been built to engage you and keep you engaged. And we're all dealing with it. There's this challenge. This is like the end of days scenarios where humanity is being tested and just being human. How much are we going to let technology take over our time? And this virtual or unauthentic reality become... So I told you, who remembers my new idea? Authentic intelligence. That's the new revolution that I want to work on. I haven't given up thinking about it. AI is not artificial. You have to make it authentic. Real intelligence. It comes from humans, not machines. That's what's going to stand out from the rest. People who are authentic, who really value relationships, value time, value themselves, value what they're doing here, value the world around them, value people around them, see the good in people. This authentic way of being is going to stand out. It's going to be a light unto the nations. If the Jewish people can maintain their authenticness and not be scared of what public opinion is, they can be who we really are. If we can be real Jews, then we're going to win this war. That's really, it's an inner battle. It's not just external with armies and stuff. It's about us as a people being Jewish and not allowing anybody else to tell us how to be Jewish. We are Jewish and we have our mission, we have our purpose, and we believe in it and we're good at it and we've been successful throughout history. We've lasted more than any other empire, nation or anything, and we should be proud of who we are till our dying day. That's the mindset, the clarity. And once we get a very clear vision of who we are, and you're in a public setting, and someone's going to say, yeah, but the Jews are committing genocide, Chas v'Shalom, or the Jews are doing this, and Jews are this, and Jews are that, you're going to be clear what you are, and you know they're talking nonsense. You're not going to have like a moment of pause. Maybe there's something to it when they're saying, maybe the Israeli army are this, and maybe that. You start getting all confused. You don't have a clear vision of what you are, who we are, and what we're doing here. And it's the same in a relationship. When you have a clear vision of this partner, this is my soulmate, this is my priority. There's no one else in the world that matters. No other woman am I meant to give my energy to other than this woman in this intimate way. This is clear. When you're totally clear about that, then all those messages you get, the DMs from those other women, are just going to be deleted or blocked. Because you're not interested in all those other options. Because you know there's nothing to do with you. You're closed to that whole false reality of supposed pleasure that awaits you if you just give in. And it makes your whole life focused. And then you won't get into all kinds of problems. You'll be focused in your relationship. And she'll know it in a deep way. She'll know that you prioritize her and that you're really intimate and one with her and no one else.
What do you see as the biggest distraction in your life?
My life? Once again, I would say the phones.
Other than
the phones? I would say the biggest distraction is a lot of like worries and fears that never manifest. So if I just learn to like let go and tune out of all that noise, the chatterbot inside our head, then I'll be focused. All the fears, your own insecurities, those kind of things. You just have to tune out of it all and just say, enough, die. Like, I know I'm here, I'm good, I'm focused, I'm doing good things in the world. Yeah, I'm going to make enough panasa, I'm going to have enough income, I'm going to have enough this, have enough that. It's going to be good. Focusing in on the now, not worrying about what's coming. You know, how much time do all of you worry about what's after B'nai Akiva? I bet you're thinking about it quite a lot.
I'm worrying about it right now.
Yeah. So can you not just tell that voice to shut up and let me just be here right now? Today is now. I don't have to do anything that's going to affect that time to come. Right now, I'm here. Let me just be here. I don't have to make that phone call. I don't have to make that text. I don't have to do anything but be here this moment, be with my boys, have that moment, have that life-changing experience in Israel, have that grand foundational time to find myself. I don't need to be anywhere else. I don't need to be talking to anyone else. I don't need to be texting anyone else. I don't need to be looking at anyone else. I'm here right now, this moment, and I'm enjoying life. Let me enjoy life. Shut up. Tell this voice, shut up. What are you draining me a cup? What are you bothering me with all these? What are you going to say? Someone's going to say something. Yeah, I don't need to go anywhere else. It's going to be good. I'm making the moves that I need to make to get where I need to go. I don't need to control every single step of the way. That's a big part of getting rid of the voices, the distraction, the noise, is letting go a little bit. You're not in control of your life. You just got to make the best choices you can within your life. Let go. It's all right. It's going to be good. You're here. You know, you made it to this point. You're healthy. You're good looking. You've got clothes. You've got a future. You've got a past. Life's good. Now, where the world's going, it looks a bit wacky, but so what? Don't think during the Second World War, young men like you were freaking out a little bit? Of course they were. They saw Nazi Germany. It was a bit of a nightmare. So we've got another version of it. Hamas, Al-Qaeda, all these different groups, Hezbollah. There's another version of Nazi Germany. But we got through that. We'll get through this. But did we suffer? Yes. But did the people that suffered still manage to rebuild families and go ahead with their lives? Yes. So we'll get through this also. Hopefully it won't be as bad as what happened in the Holocaust. But we're going to get through this. Like, we have to put history and context into everything we're doing. And it allows us, the main point is to be present, to live life fully, to live that moment with that other person fully. That moment with that other person is not going to come again. It's a precious experience of life together with another human being. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. There's a soul. They've chosen to spend time with you. Enjoy that other person. They're investing their time in you. Invest your time in them. Invest your time in that other person. Invest that time in that moment of life. Experience life to the fullest. It's a very simple concept, but it's so distracted and so much noise around it. Like you admitted, you're thinking about what's coming. What? It's not going to help nothing. If you can make real steps, make those steps and now forget about it. I have a website to help sort out right now. When I'm in the realm of working on the website, I'll work on the website. When I'm not, bye-bye, website doesn't exist. When I have to make some marketing stuff, when I'm doing the marketing, I'll do it fully. When I'm not, I'm not. It's a certain self-discipline, mind discipline. You can't do 10 things at once. You have to do each thing fully focused, and you get to the next thing, and you watch your life, you succeed. People who are successful are in their flow. The best fighters in all the fight UFC and that, they're guys who enter into a zone. They're in a zone. Anything of success, they're in a zone. Tennis players, whatever you're into, basketball, they're in a zone. What are we going to say?
Isn't object permanence more of a hindrance than like helpful? Like, out of sight, out of mind, it's good and all, but like, it should be there. Like, if it's part of you, it's part of you, you know?
Yeah, you have to accept yourself. Good point. You have to accept all the voices that go on. You have to accept that they're going to chatterbox. And all this stuff's going to happen. You're right. You have to live with a distracting voice. It's part of our reality. It's part of human reality. 100%.
It's probably about knowing when to listen to it and when to...
Very good. Yeah, that's right. I think he's got the balance. But the only reason I'm going to other extremes is because it's so extreme right now.
Sure.
You have to go a little bit extreme to get back to the middle of what he's saying. That you do have to live with this reality, that you have these worries and concerns, and you do get distracted. You have to be human and real with yourself. But you can't use that as an excuse. That's the problem. Everyone's become victims. I'm a victim. It's so hard for me. You know, the world's so become this, and the world's that, and people are so this, and people are so that. That's all excuses, but it's not going to make a difference. You, like all these hardcore motivational speeches. The guy's like, at the end of the day, you got to take responsibility. Someone's going to take responsibility. So you are got to step up and be a man. That was the point in that song of Ben Shapiro. What's Tom saying?
Well, Tom is being...
I'm a man.
He's saying, I'm a man. And yeah. Everyone else is just pussies.
Yeah. And I don't care if I'm offending anyone because I got to get my voice out there. Yeah. There's a certain point that connects into what we're learning now. I got to get my voice out there. Yeah. These Chabadniks that go around. And, you know, do they look like they're insecure about their Judaism? And doing what they're supposed to do? No, not at all. They'll go, they'll keep going to the school that told them to get out of here, stop putting tefillin on our students. They'll keep putting tefillin on students, and they'll keep going to Tel Aviv and doing what they do. Because they believe in their shlichus, their mission. And that's the kind of confidence we have to. The soldiers are totally believing in their mission. You know who's freaking out right now? Who's freaking out? The parents. Mumps, my son's in war. It's cold. He's got corona. That's a new boy, a new story. He's got corona, he's got the flu. My wife and I are like, what? These are soldiers. Would you want to come wrap them up in cotton wool and tuck them in and give them a hot drink? They're doing it in a war. These people want to kill us. If we don't have these soldiers killing the Hamas, they will throw missiles at your home. So it's either life or death. It's not a time to worry about little sicknesses that their little boy is getting in the army. It's about giving your children the strength to win this war. That's what it's about. That's the mindset all the parents should have right now. If they don't have it, the parents are the issue, not the army. Parents need to wake up, stop being such babies with their children. It's a war situation. You need to be focused. When you're in war, one of the pleasures of war is the focus. You come back to society, right? Everyone's distracted. Everyone's on their phone. If you're on your phone in the war, what's going to happen? Bullet in the head. Dead. You understand? Why is my son living a true life for this time period? Because he's off the phone. And it's not just the phone. He's focused. He's totally focused on his life, on being there for another person, for an army, for a team, for a unit, for a cause, for a mission. That is the intense feeling these soldiers have right now. And that's why they're enjoying life. So we'll end off. We need to not be in a war to enjoy life. That's my end point. We need to realize every second of life is a certain reality of war, but there's the preciousness, the joy of life, and we can get the most out of it. Get the most out of our relationships, get the most out of Bnei Akiva. These are the last, I don't know how long you've got, but just every day, make the most of each day here. Really enjoy the program, enjoy the relationships, and eventually, please God, enjoy the fact you're going to find a soulmate. And enjoy that person. Women have deep souls. They're special. They're beautiful. They're made beautiful for a reason. There's a lot of good there. Yeah? Find a matzah, isha matzah tov, says the Talmud. Find a good wife, find good. A woman is a beautiful gift. It's a gift. My Rebbe told me, I'll end on this point. I phoned up my Rebbe last Friday. I wanted to thank him. He gave me a bottle of wine because I came by his tish. You know what a tish is? Anyone know what a tish is? It's a big tish. The Rebbe's tish. He's having there, giving out fruits. Tish of Tu B'Shvat. So I'm in the corner all the way at the back. And the Rebbe says, before he starts speaking to anything or anything, he says, I want to give Eliezer, Lazer Goldschmidt, a bottle of wine. As he calls me, Lazer Goldschmidt, Eliezer. Give Lazer Goldschmidt a bottle of wine. He says to the Gabbai, one of my friends, he says, send him a bottle of wine. Give him, you know where he is? Yeah. He comes and brings me this beautiful bottle of wine. I used it for my Tu B'Shvat tissue. So I went to the front of my rabbi and say thank him. He didn't give the bottle of wine to anyone else, just to me. Maybe because my son's in Aza, whatever the reason is. He says, and he has a gosh in a crack, that was the words he said. So I find him up and said, thank you so much, Rebbe. I want to thank you. I didn't just forget about it. Find out my rabbi and said, thank you so much for giving me a bottle of wine. He answered, he almost never answers his phone because he's very, very busy. He's a busy Rebbe. He's got a lot of people speaking to him. He answered the phone, so I got to talk to him. I haven't spoken to him for a few months on the phone, actually. Every time I phone, I got the answer machine. He listens to the messages, but he doesn't always answer the phone. So I got on the phone with him, and he says to me, Reblazer, he says, that's not how he calls me. He says, you're a rich man. He says, I want you to know how rich you are. You are so rich. You have such a wonderful wife. She's so special, and you're so rich. She has such talents. He says, you have a son. Who has such talent, such skills, that he can go do this successfully in Gaza. You are such a rich man. He starts saying, you're Asher Gadol. You're a really, truly rich person. And he said, and he said a few things about me personally. It makes me rich as well. And then he said, ended off the phone call and said, don't be so suspicious, don't worry. You are a rich person. And be happy, enjoy life. That's what the Holy Rabbi said to me. I'm saying the same thing to you. Enjoy your life. You're rich. That's it.